Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live, talking about HR with the folks out in HR getting it done every day. So who doesn't like the Beastie Boys to kind of get your lunch kicked off? I just thought I would throw that out there. That definitely made me laugh a little bit. So, well, hey, let's get to our guest because she's going to tell us some really cool stuff here at lunch. So, Heather Rothbauer-Wanish, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Hi, thank you for having me back. I appreciate it.
Well, Heather, if you would, introduce yourself to our listeners, and then we'll kind of roll from there.
All right, sounds good. Well, like he said, my name is Heather Rothbauer-Wanish. I own a company called Feather Communications. I work with job seekers that are looking to either enter new markets, hone their job skills a little bit more, create new job searching documents, resumes, cover letters, LinkedIn profiles, and just kind of discover what HR professionals are looking for in today's economy. And I've really enjoyed doing this business. I've really enjoyed the changes that it's brought along, and I think HR is an important topic that changes pretty often. So that's a little bit about me. I also do some freelance writing for some businesses and some marketing activities as well.
Well, that is perfect. You're doing some really good work. And I like your website, by the way. It's got stylistically, that kind of hits into a lot of areas that I like. So props on that. So let's kind of jump in your world. What is top of mind for you these days?
Well, recently I have been working with a lot of people as far as brushing up their LinkedIn profiles, working with them as far as trying to make their profile a little bit more professional, a little bit more detailed, and a little bit more in-depth for those people that are seeking job opportunities. So what I've been trying to do is to work with the individuals that are seeking jobs, and then also talk to HR professionals to find out, you know, some of the things that they like to see on LinkedIn profiles as well. That's been one of the things that I found lately that's been extremely busy. I think previously there was a rush of people, you know, jumping on LinkedIn, creating these profiles, and then what I have found at least is a lot of people have just left them sit there. They haven't utilized them. They haven't put forth, I guess, the effort to make sure that they're going in there and updating that information. So that's kind of one of the topics that's been on top of my mind lately.
Well, that's and before we jump too far into some of the things that you would just give best practices for job seekers, what do you feel is, from HR's perspective, kind of what needs to happen with a LinkedIn profile? How do you think HR actually evaluates LinkedIn profiles when they're looking at it quickly?
Well, and this is probably something really basic, but when they're looking at it really quickly, honestly, I think one of the things they look at is make sure that everything's spelled correctly. Just make sure that the person has a professional presence. And, I mean, that doesn't even necessarily include the content of it. It's just kind of a quick eye-catching thing. If you see somebody out there that has mistakes or spelling errors on their LinkedIn profile, you kind of wonder what they would be like as an employee. I think also HR is definitely looking for, depending upon the industry that they're in, they're looking for particular keywords that are sort of the buzzwords within that industry. So they want to make sure that those people are doing the things that they're looking for in particular positions. And again, I just think the professionalism on there is just a huge, huge thing, and that people, HR professionals, need to pay attention to potential candidates that they might be bringing in, and job seekers need to look at it as that's kind of their first exposure to the employer, so they need to make sure that information is coming across.
Perfect. Yeah, and that's actually a pretty oddly enough, and I constantly struggle with this. So I totally hit on. Sometimes you just got to outsource, have as many people look at that as possible. For whatever reason, things slip through, right? And it's not that it might be just misspelled, but it might be out of context, or it might be the wrong version of a word. However you want to put that. But just have a lot of people look at it. You know, it's worth the time. So.
It is definitely worth the time, and I think one of the issues for a lot of people is simply that they created their own LinkedIn profile, and yes, they know that information backwards and forwards, but sometimes it's good to have a second set of eyes because we're not as close to that information, and we might be able to see stuff that they didn't necessarily notice. So I think that's a great point.
Well, so, okay, let's jump into, thank you very much for kind of giving the perspective on that, and let's kind of jump into some of the basics of how you're helping people just make their profiles, better, more presentable, mm-hmm. better, kind of calibrated.
Well, one of the people that I've worked with within the last week or so, he said, oh, I have a LinkedIn profile. I think it's pretty good, but can you take a look at it? Well, here, all he had out there was basically a listing of his jobs. He didn't have any sort of detail underneath any of the positions as far as what he actually did. He didn't have any of his accomplishments out there. He didn't have any quantitative sort of information out there either, which I know is something that HR professionals, especially when you're looking to hire somebody, having that quantifiable information out there, making sure that people know exactly what you accomplished, not just what your duties were, is so critically important. And so that's one thing that I come in and kind of work with people on, is making sure you do have that type of information out there, because anybody can have a list of job duties, but that doesn't necessarily tell a potential employer or an HR person what you accomplished at a particular position. So that's one thing I've done. Another thing is just changing up the summary for people. I think a lot of times HR professionals, they don't have a lot of time. They just glance through the summary, quickly glance through the job positions. So having a concise, appropriate summary is important. And even that job heading at the top, underneath your name, kind of the heading, whatever you're using right at this point, it's okay to go in there and change that. And so I think a lot of it just comes down to making sure your profile, and that goes for your resume too, it just doesn't get stale. You need to make sure that you're changing it and you're updating it and making sure that it's up to date with some of that information that you've done.
Would you recommend, would you recommend that the job, how often, let me rephrase that, how often would you recommend a job seeker does an update to their LinkedIn profile while they're in the job search?
While they're in the job search, I would say that they, probably at least once a month, just go in there and make sure that things are up to date. LinkedIn has that nice feature that, depending upon which sort of membership or which sort of thing you're signed up for, you can see who's looking at your profile as well. So, if you're not getting a lot of hits, you're not getting a lot of bites on there, I would definitely go in and change some of those keywords. I mean, I'm certainly not advocating that you go in there and just start adding stuff just for the sake of adding things. But at the end of the day, if something's not working and you're not getting the feedback that you want from HR, then you definitely need to go in there and make some changes. And I think that just comes back to, if you're not getting great feedback, have another professional look at it, especially if you know somebody within the industry that you're looking to go to. I think that would be a key factor in making sure that it's up to date.
Now, how often would you recommend if you're just in the, you're in your job, right? You're not a seeker, you're in your job, you're employed. How often would you update your LinkedIn profile, because people get a little weird about that?
Yeah, they do. And I think that's kind of a personal sort of choice. But I still think at least, every 6 months going in there and updating it. People can get weird about it, because as soon as somebody sees that you're changing your LinkedIn profile, and I've had this happen to me actually, where, I just went in and made some changes because I just fault and need to be updated. And the first thing somebody said to me was, oh, you must be looking for a different job because I saw you changed your LinkedIn profile. And I was like, no, I just wanted to change it. You know, I wanted to make sure that it was the image that I wanted to portray. So, you know, maybe every 6 months just going in there and making sure that some of the updated information is in there is important. Again, I just think it's important that people don't put it out there and expect, you know, HR professionals or new employers to come knocking on their door, because it's not going to happen. You need to make sure that you're utilizing the information.
Well, that's perfect. And what great block and tackle advice, I mean, folks out there. I mean, and also just to hear, you know, LinkedIn, just for HR professionals, actually, talent acquisition, whoever, employers that might be listening, is just to kind of hear the other side of what, you know, kind of what somebody is consulting job seekers to do and actually, you know, employees to do, I think is always just a good perspective to hear. So what do you think the biggest impact going forward is going to be in the job search process, in the recruiting process, relative to kind of this profile, resume turning into a profile, right? Resume is going to LinkedIn, you know, LinkedIn kind of being the primary. So what are thoughts on that?
Well, I wish I had a crystal ball, because then I would know for sure. But I have told several people that I've worked with recently, and in fact, I just met with a gentleman last Friday, and he, you know, was a little bit older, looking to kind of start over with his career. And I, you know, was updating his resume, which I have no problem doing, you know, and emailing it to him and things like that. But I told him, I said, you know, I think within the next 3 to 5 years, I said, I don't necessarily believe that this piece of paper in front of you here is going to be around. I said, I think that it's going to be maybe a business card size thing that you have in your wallet or your purse, and you're going to say, here's my LinkedIn profile, or here's my whatever the new site happens to be at that point in time. Go to it, check me out, give me a call if you're interested, and I'd be happy to come in for an interview. Personally, that's where I think that it's moving to. I think it already has moved to that extent, to a, you know, a certain point, but he was kind of taken aback by that, simply because he doesn't even have a LinkedIn profile. He said, oh, yeah, somebody else told me that I should get one of those. And I said, and with the particular industry that he's going into, it's very sales-oriented, I said, you definitely need to have something out there. You have to have a presence out there, because this is what people are looking at. So just from my perspective, I think that's the way that it's going to go in the future, is that you're simply going to have some sort of a website address, and that's where people are going to be able to go to check you out, rather than, you know, emailing a resume or uploading all this information, you know, through a job site. That's just my feeling on it. You know, obviously when people are writing resumes for a living, as well as I have and do, you got to kind of go with the flow. And if things are changing, then you have to change with it. And I think that's important for job seekers to keep in mind, and HR professionals.
So do you think that, do you actually think going to more of a, almost more of an online standard for presenting your background, your work history, all those things, do you think that's a plus or a minus?
I think it's both. I think it's definitely a plus. If I'm working in HR and I'm getting 100 applicants and everything is standardized, it's fantastic, because it's so much easier to go through that information. I mean, I totally understand. I've been in a hiring position before. I totally understand standardized information is very nice to go through, because everybody comes across as equal. I think as a job seeker or somebody that's looking to change fields, I don't necessarily think that it's great. It's a negative, because I still feel like having a LinkedIn presence or having a resume or whatever it is, or your portfolio, that's unique to you. You can kind of show off some of your creativity, and it doesn't matter what industry you're in. Employers want creative people. And so I think in those cases, you're able to show off the creativity. You're able to show how you stand apart from everybody else. So I think it's a plus and a minus. From a job seeker perspective, I don't necessarily like it. From an HR hiring perspective, I think it's great. Does that answer the question? It's a little bit of both.
Yeah, no, it totally, and that's a good, you hit it from both perspectives. And that's good, I mean, great answer. Because I don't think whether it's good or bad, it's the evolution. I mean, technology is in front of us, right?
Right.
Technologies, we're immersed in technology. We have a history of technology now. As we go down, as we get into 2013, 14, 2020, we're starting to have more technology than not, right? We're kind of versus pencil paper and the more kind of 2D type mediums.
Absolutely.
So good, bad, and different. It's just figuring out how it can best be utilized. You know, it's more of outcomes, looking at outcomes of how's the best this can be, you know, utilized, how I can make a plus versus being resistant and, you know, just saying, I'm not going to do it. That just at the end of the day makes you really not very competitive.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, well, given the economy and things like that, where people are switching jobs a lot more and different things are happening, I think that's slowly becoming the mentality of most people. But there's definitely still a segment of people that say, well, I'm not going to do that because, you know, this is the way, it's basically loyal, which is a saying that I don't like, but this is the way we've always done it. That's the mentality that still a certain segment has, and that's just not going to cut it. It is just not going to cut it with technology and with the amount of people that you're competing with for job opportunities. You have to evolve or you're frankly going to be left in the dust.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's tough. And I mean, technology is before we jump into that, let me do a quick reset. Everybody, you're listening to Brian with Drive to HR, and I'm talking with Heather Rothbauer Wanish, and definitely knows her stuff, professional resume, I would say architect, not a writer, resume architect that helps job seekers and does a lot of other things also. So actually have a question from the Twitter stream. What is your take on endorsements versus recommendations on LinkedIn?
Ooh. Okay. Oh, this is a good one. I just talked to a group about this about 2 weeks ago. A while back, LinkedIn obviously changed a little bit. You can still obviously write a recommendation for somebody if you want, but then they also created the endorsements. Personally, I give a lot more credit to recommendations simply because it means somebody else took the time to write about you and wrote about some great experience that they had with you. So in my eyes, especially if I'm in a hiring position, having written recommendations on LinkedIn is much more, I guess I give more weight to that rather than the endorsements. I like the endorsements. I like it from my personal perspective because it's very easy for somebody to go in and say, oh, she has writing skills. She's pretty good at that. Click. Oh, she's pretty good at job coaching. Click. And they endorse me for it. But at the end of the day, that's all the person put into it. And honestly, I mean, I've got some people that I'm connected with on LinkedIn that I've, you know, met a few times. But they've endorsed me for things that I don't know that they know that about me, if that makes sense. So I'll have 50 recommendations or endorsements for certain things, but at the end of the day, all somebody did was click their mouse. So I don't necessarily think that the endorsements give as much weight as the written recommendations. As a job seeker, it's much easier to get endorsements. I'm totally a lot easier to get that. When you're asking somebody for a recommendation, that can be a little awkward for some people. Some people don't write recommendations very well. So you have to be very, very careful on who you ask to write a recommendation for you as well.
Yeah, that's and thank you. What if you have no endorsements? Let's say endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
What if you have no endorsements? Do you think that's going to at some point become a negative?
It definitely could. What I have found, I actually worked with somebody earlier this week on kind of beefing up her LinkedIn profile. She had one, but it was a little weak. And what I found is she had 3 endorsements. And I thought, well, that's odd because, you know, she's very professional. She's awesome at what she does. Well, then I realized she only had 3 skills listed on her profile. She didn't have a ton of skills out there for people to go ahead and endorse her. I don't know that it'll be a huge drawback in the future if you don't have a lot of endorsements. Again, I think LinkedIn is making it really easy for people to give endorsements to each other. So I don't know if it'll be a big negative. I think if there's some particular thing that you definitely want to be endorsed for, I would make sure that that is the skill that you have listed first. And I would also make sure maybe that you don't dilute it with a lot of other options that are close to that topic. So, for example, sometimes if you go into LinkedIn and you're adding a particular skill to your profile, you can add public speaking or you can add public speaking skills. Well, you want to make sure to pick one or the other because otherwise people could actually split your endorsements between the two. So just making sure that each skill you have out there is very, very distinctive, I think, is really important.
That's cool. That's a great great suggestion. I'm thinking through my LinkedIn profile right now as we speak, right, on everything that I've done right and all things that I'm sure I've done wrong. So, interesting. I'll have to look at that afterwards. So,
yeah, and actually, one of the other things, if I could just say quick about written recommendations on LinkedIn, I'm very careful personally about who I recommend on LinkedIn. I look at it similarly to a job reference, meaning if somebody asks me for a written recommendation and I don't feel super confident about them, I don't give it to them. And the reason I don't is because that recommendation also shows up on your LinkedIn profile. So I am extremely selective about who I recommend on there. And I also think maybe that's why endorsements have become more popular, because it's you're not putting yourself out there as much. If you endorse somebody, well, you know, you endorsed them. A written recommendation has your name associated with it. It's on their profile. It's on your profile. I just think that people need to be reminded to be very careful about who they're recommending on LinkedIn.
That is it's one of those things that, you know what, it's not easy either at times for some people to just be straight up and gracefully say, you know, I don't want to do that, right?
Right.
I mean, you can always do the I'm going to ignore it and it'll go away mode, because
right.
Some people just aren't vested. That's one approach. Or you can just explain why you don't want to do it. I've used a variety of tactics personally. Some I've just ignored because it's idiotic that they're asking me, first of all, so it's not worth my time to explain. And then I don't think I've ever just told somebody straight up that I'm not going to endorse them.
Right.
I've kind of kicked it back to them. Basically, the way that I do it, unless it's somebody that I really am down with, that I am like, God, absolutely, which does happen on occasion, I'll ask them to write it. I'm like, you write it and let me edit it up because I just don't have the time. You know, I'm taxed on time at the moment.
Right.
And I would say that 9 out of 10 times, it never gets written.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a telling moment to me because I want to see their perspective. And right or wrong, I'm not looking for validation. That's how I do it. If it's somebody that I'm totally passionate about and think that they are amazing and they've asked, then I will absolutely go and do it and let them take a look at it and, you know, edit it, whatever. And so, yeah, so that's really all really good points.
Yeah, I really think, you know, with the recommendations and things like that out there, I, again, from when I was hiring people, that I gave a lot of weight to that. So I think it's just really important to think about who you're recommending. And I love your idea about asking them to write it, because I bet, and I totally agree with you, most people probably are going to say, well, yeah, and then they never do it. So maybe you're not the person they should have asked. Maybe that's kind of a, like you said, a telling sign for them not to go through with it as well. And I've actually had people say that to me as well. Well, why don't you just write it, and then I'll look at it, and if it's okay, then we'll, you know, put it out there. So, but I've taken advantage of that. I've always followed through. So I think that's a good way to do it, definitely.
Yeah, great. It's just a great filter. We need filters and boundaries in our life, and so that's a good one. Another question off the Twitter stream: What are some things not to do that annoy recruiters on LinkedIn?
Let's see. What are some things not to do that annoy recruiters on LinkedIn? Well, I guess I think one of them would probably be not having relevant, or I guess having relevant information out there, meaning that if it's a sales position you're going for, then you make sure that you have the sales, your sales background out there. I've seen a lot of LinkedIn profiles for people that have been professionally working for 20, 30, 40 years, and they still have their high school education on there. I don't think you need that. Recruiters are busy people. You need to make sure that the information you have out there is relevant to what you're, you know, what you're asking them to find for you. The other thing I would say, too, is just to make sure, you know, I've worked with some people as well that have sales position, a sales position, a sales position. Well, they have the same sort of information underneath each position. That can't possibly be the case. You couldn't have possibly done the exact same thing at every single job. So just making sure that I think that your skill sets are distinctive among each job is important, showing them that you do have different skills that you're able to bring to a potential employer is key. You know, also just thinking about some of the meetings I've had with people, they've worked at a place and then they'll say, well, you know, pretty much all I did there was sales. Or when I worked there, I managed a few people, but that was about it. So just making sure, again, that you're listing the relevant things that you did out there, not necessarily, you know, filed reports or, you know, made reports and did these sorts of things, but just making sure that it's, you know, transferable skills that could be utilized in positions that you're looking to find. I think that's important. I think from a recruiting standpoint, too, you got to do something to make yourself stand out from people. You don't want it to look like every other person's profile. And another thing, and I don't know if this is specific to recruiters, but I would just encourage everybody, if you're thinking about really utilizing your LinkedIn profile, you have to make sure you have a picture out there. That's a key. I think for a recruiter, for a potential employer, being able to put a face with a name is vitally important. You do not have to go and spend $500 on a professional photo at wherever, you know, is near to you, but just go have a decent photo taken that can be utilized on LinkedIn, a professional picture, because I think that's vitally important, too, just to have that human connection. I think when we're thinking technology, 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 sometimes we step away from that human connection, but having that picture out there is key, just making sure that there's a face with the name.
Well, that's, I completely agree with that. It's one of those things that it's not a deal breaker, but it just helps to kind of, because you have everybody else. You know, what would be interesting is, do you know what percentage of people, and we've only got about 2 minutes left, but do you know what percentage of people don't have a photograph or a photograph versus do have a photo on LinkedIn profiles? Have you ever heard that?
I don't, but that would be a great statistic to look up, because I'm guessing that those profiles don't get visited nearly as much as the other percentage that do have photos out there.
Well, I task everybody in the Drive-Thru HR Nation, HR community, recruiting community, to share that information via Twitter. Just use our hashtag #pound. Or hashtag DTHR to give us the answer to that, because we've got lots of LinkedIn experts out there. Our whole sourcing community, I'm sure, will probably regurgitate that information pretty quickly. So
okay.
They live in the stream. So, well, Heather, great information. Oh, my gosh, great conversation. So where are some places that you might be speaking the rest of the year or conferences you're going to be at that people can actually connect with you?
Okay, right now I'm actually going to be at the Power Women Retreat in Hot Springs, Arkansas in October, so I'm excited about that. I'm excited to go to Arkansas. And then actually in November, right now, I'm planning to speak at the FBLA National Fall Leadership Conference, which is a high school business organization, and that's going to be in Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm super excited about that, because actually one of the presentations I'm giving there is about LinkedIn. It's about kind of letting the high school students or upcoming graduates know that, hey, this is out there, it's important, and you're going to need to know this information in the future. So those are two things I'm planning right now, and I've got a couple of other things in the works, but if people want to check out my website, I do have my event information on there.
Well, that is perfect. Thank you so much for coming on. You're going to love Hot Springs. It's such a cool little town that I think that you will maybe want to go back there in the future. So And we will try and get you on maybe later in the year to kind of see how things are going. And folks, have a good rest of the day. Definitely keep thinking about all our folks in Oklahoma. I live in Tulsa, and our folks down in Moore, are powering through everything that they have to do. So be thinking about them. Do what you can to help. And we are out of here. Long December.